Welcome to Resounds, Arts and Culture on the High Plains. I'm Corby Skinner.
And I'm Anna Page. And we're sharing stories of creative people who live and work in the Intermountain West.
Post Secret is an ongoing community art project where people mail in their secrets anonymously. Post Secret began in 2004 when Frank Warren invited strangers to mail him a secret on the back of a postcard. Today, over a million people from around the world have mailed Frank their secrets.
Frank is often referred to as the most trusted stranger in America, and he receives hundreds of anonymous postcards each day. Many of them feature elaborate artwork, delicate handwriting, a lot of them are collaged, and confess a never-before-told secret. Secrets are posted every Sunday to postsecret.com, which is the largest advertisement-free blog in the world.
Today, there are 6 best-selling Post Secret books, multiple museum exhibits, and Frank Warren travels the world speaking at universities and conferences, revealing humor, heartbreak, and the humanity in the secrets he receives.
Frank was recently in Billings as part of a Post Secret live tour where he spoke at Montana State University Billings and joined us in the YPR studios to talk about the Post Secret movement. Frank, welcome to the studio. We're so glad to have you today.
It's wonderful to be inside where it's warm.
Yeah, you chose a good time to come to Billings to do your Post Secret live tour right in the heart of winter. So,
yeah.
Welcome.
Well, it's good to be here.
I'm sure this number changes all the time, but how many secrets have you received since starting Post Secret?
It's over a million now. I started in 2004, kind of as a lark, but the project caught fire online and around the world. People began to buy their own postcards and make their own postcards and mail them in. They've never stopped. Over 13, 14 years. And the pile was just recently moved from the Smithsonian Postal Museum. It was taller than me, a pyramid, like a ton of secrets,
wow.
One postcard at a time. And now they're all on their way to San Diego for another exhibit. But the archive keeps growing.
So I'm interested when you say they make their own postcards too. I would think if you were revealing a very important secret, the material itself would be important. I mean, do people create their own postcards?
They do. I started the project with postcards just like this. You can take a look at
right,
this one.
4x6.
4x6. It just invites people to write a secret on the back of the card. Just have it be true, something you've never told anyone else before, and decorate the card. And I passed these out in Washington, D.C. to strangers. And as they came in to my mailbox, I would post them in this art exhibit that was happening in Washington, D.C. And then that turned into a website. And then when the story spread online, people weren't using the postcards I had handed out. It kind of took on a life of its own. And yes, almost every postcard I receive has a drawing, a photograph, a collage, something that further conveys the emotion behind the secret. Sometimes they come on the objects themselves. Mm-hmm. I've had people put my home address and stamps on items such as naked Polaroid pictures with a secret, or a license plate, or a shirt, or a bra, or a death certificate, a marriage certificate. I've received multiple rings and wedding bands
wow.
with secrets. So as you were getting to, there's something that really connects us to these stories that we've been holding and carrying. And when we let them go, my hope is that there's something cathartic about that.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you've said that secrets are the currency of intimacy.
Yeah.
And these are all still coming to your home.
Yeah, they arrive every day. And I think it's kind of beautiful how these secrets, sometimes in different languages, mailed from different continents, are all coming together to this one point in my mailbox. And they all kind of start separately, but they all, every day when they arrive, they're together.
Now, I sent a secret to you once upon a time. And I think one of the joys of sending a post secret is, like you said, getting that feeling that you've shared something, you've put it out into the world. It's something so personal, but you're making a connection. And I think that's part of the success of post secret, is that it's connecting with somebody else.
Agreed. You know, it's this illusion I think we have that our secrets and stories separate us. If we keep them private, they can. They can be like walls. But if we can find a way to let them go in the appropriate way, whatever that might be, I think we instantly recognize them not as walls, but as bridges that connect us, not just to other people and their stories, but to our deepest self.
But it's actually not connecting. It's the telling. Because you're not responding to those postcards that you get. So, I mean, I love the cathartic part of I'm sending this out. It's very important. It's true. I haven't told anybody, but I don't know who I'm telling it to.
I'm like the universal stranger on a train. But I would challenge you a bit and say they do connect people in surprising ways, ways that I could not have imagined. I remember an email I got from a young woman. She said, Frank, I wrote all my secrets down on postcards, and I was going to mail them to you. But instead, I decided to share them with the most important person in my life, my boyfriend. So one morning, I got up early. He was still in bed. And I put all of my secrets underneath his pillow. And later that day, my boyfriend, he called me at work and asked me to marry him. So just a story of how this union came about through the courage this woman had to really expose her true self, to be courageous through vulnerability.
And I think in anonymity, like when you're posting Sunday secrets, whether or not it's connective, I think it does make the world a little smaller because we see people who are struggling with the same things that we are, and it makes us feel less alone. It does, I think, in some ways connect us to other people, whether or not we know them. And so in sharing those secrets, it becomes less of a shameful burden, perhaps?
Absolutely. I read recently in the Journal of Experimental Psychology, there'd been these studies between different groups holding secrets, deep secrets, like sexual orientation or marital infidelity. And the studies revealed that individuals that are hiding these burdens, these parts of who they are, actually feel a sense of burden in their life physically. If they're asked to estimate how steep a mountain is, they will estimate it as being steeper than it actually is. Their immune system is a bit compromised, so they're not quite as strong to fight off illness or sickness. And if a friend asks them to help them with a task, they're more likely to say no because they're feeling burdened already. So in some ways, it's almost not the secret itself, but the part of our brain we have to dedicate to hiding it all the time from friends, family, strangers, and ourselves.
Do you think, in terms of our society now and a texting world as opposed to a conversational world, that people are more willing to write something out and share it, whereas in years past they might have talked to somebody?
Well, I think PostSecret came along at just the perfect time for itself, because as you put your finger on it, the culture is changing. There was a time when young people felt a deeper connection with their families. Now families are more segmented and broken, and there's more of a spectrum than what they used to be. We used to have a deeper connection to our religions, I think. You know, there was a time when people would confess their sins or their secrets. And there was a time, too, even in therapy, where there was more emphasis on talking and sharing and less emphasis on the pharmacological side of it. Also, PostSecret started at a time on the web when people were just starting to share more of who they were. But on the web, sometimes it's tricky to know if you're really being anonymous or not. So I think combining the ask of a secret with the intuitive anonymity that a postcard brings people was the first step in creating a safe, non-judgmental place where people could really reveal their deepest stories in a way that really became this self-fulfilling prophecy. Because every week on the website at postsecret.com, when I share these postcards, it invites other people to identify similar stories or secrets within themselves and continue that conversation in a way that I'm just in love with following.
Now, there's also a physicality to what's going on when you create this postcard. And I'm wondering what parts of just our overall well-being are tied to creating art and making things that have more of a physical nature than, you know, a text or the social or digital aspects of our world.
I think there's a huge difference. I think that by texting something in a field digitally, that's very different than buying a postcard, creating artwork that conveys perhaps part of the secret you're too embarrassed to put into words yet. Mm-hmm. And then physically letting it go to a stranger. In some sense, it kind of exercises that secret out of us. It gives it a place where it can come out and we can define it with our own words, maybe for the first time. And so in a sense, that secret isn't keeping us, but we're allowing it to be let go, or we're keeping it in a way that's a little bit different perspective.
Yeah, there's such an intentionality behind it.
It reminds me of when I was in college learning, and I could sit in lecture halls and fall asleep quickly, but if I wrote it down, I would remember it. And I've always thought that the act of actually writing something down makes it true or makes it more meaningful than just reading something or repeating something. The physicality of putting words to paper has power in itself.
Definitely. A first step to get it out, you have to choose words to take ownership of it. And I know that in a lot of cases, people share a secret with me anonymously on a postcard at first, and that's just the first step in a longer journey reconciling with that part of who they are with other people, friends, family, counselors in their lives. So I always think of sharing a secret not as something static, but something dynamic, part of a story.
Well, and a lot of these secrets are dark in nature. Many discuss thoughts of suicide. Why do you think suicide is such a secret, and are there ways that we can help those who live in that kind of darkness?
Well, I think through this project, I've learned that suicide is kind of a national secret. It's a secret we keep from ourselves. And by not talking about it, it just makes it worse. Before I started Post Secret, I was a volunteer on HopeLine, a national suicide prevention hotline, really listening to people's secrets at 2 a.m., 3 a.m. at that crucible in their life. And so I think that experience informs Post Secret. One of the things I've learned through the project is when you tell your story of pain, it invites other people to open up too. So often at these live events, I share a full spectrum of secrets, but afterwards, people come up individually and they want to tell me their story about their struggle or about the family member that confided in them about self-harm in some way. And so it just lets me know that people want to have these conversations, and we need to create more social spaces where that can happen. Not just for the person to get it out, but for everybody in the community to realize they're not alone with their struggles.
Mm-hmm. Well, in Post Secret Live, and a lot of the Post Secret movement has happened on campuses, one of the reasons that you're here in Billings. Do you think that these populations are more prone to suicide risk or harmful thoughts?
I don't know. What I do know is that young people are, I believe, more alive than older people. They're more struggling with who they are, what their identity is, what's true and what's bold. And so when we talk about secrets and their stories, I think it creates this space where they can really explore a little bit more and give them the courage to talk about things that they might not normally in their everyday life as they make those important decisions.
Sure. It removes the stigma a lot of times to talking about that.
On a brighter side.
Yes.
I keep thinking about Cyrano and writing those beautiful letters to Roxanne, and he could never say that it was him. You know, he was writing for somebody else. And that kind of sort of unrequited love. Do you get postcards that are of that nature?
I would say maybe the most common kind of secret I get is from a person trying to find that one other person or group in their life who they don't have to keep any secrets from, who they can be their full and true and whole selves with. I see that secret expressed dozens of different ways on postcards every week.
In all the years of reading secrets, are there some that really stick with you, some of the more memorable ones?
Sure. I brought some here with me today. This one came on a postcard covered with photographs of wedding gowns, classic, modern, looks like torn out of a magazine. This one says, "I married someone I don't love because I wanted to wear the dress."
Oh, wow.
Postmarked from Hawaii. Huh. This one came on a parking ticket. It says, "I got a parking citation and so did the car next to me. I replaced the ticket on the car next to me with mine. My ticket got paid and the one I took, I mailed it to Post Secret." This one,
I think that will encourage bad behavior among parking violators.
Maybe we should be careful with the secret information. This one's on the other end of the spectrum. This one says, "I work at a vet clinic. When euthanizing a pet, we give you the option of staying in the room with them or leaving. Always stay. They look for you once you're gone." And then this one came from Canada. It has a drawing of an elevator on the face, a kind of a schematic of the different floors. It says, "I feel guilty when I take elevators for one floor, so I limp when I get out."
Sorry, I'm still recovering from the vet secret.
It's kind of a whiplash when you hear them rapidly like that. And I think that's one of the powers of the project on the website and in the books. The publisher tried to encourage me to group the secrets together by category or chapter. And I fought against it because I think there's something reflective about the way we hold and keep secrets inside of us. It's just this clash and juxtaposition of the religious next to the painful, next to the sexual, next to the hopeful, in a way that kind of conveys normal convention.
We need a bit of humor in between those heartbreaking stories and you know, just the humanity of it all.
Sometimes you don't know whether it's sad or happy or funny or there's one. It came to me on a photograph of a rose stuck in the frame of a mirror. And the secret said, I steal photographs from my friends to remember how much I love them. What an interesting little peek into someone's life. And I get a lot of those. It just indicates how rich our interior lives can be and how that gets hidden. And there's special little nuances that if we take the time to open up and share and listen, it can really make us realize how special the days and the moments and the people in our lives are.
I like the idea of the confetti of life and words, like taking all that information and throwing it up in the air, and you do come across very touching things and humorous things, and it's like real life. You know, it isn't organized into chapters.
Yeah, it's a kaleidoscope or a collage, you know, and I'm sure you get so many different types of art that come your way. Did you ever think that you would be one of the most trusted strangers in America?
No, I was never that person that friends or family would tell their secrets to. I was not that guy. And in some ways, maybe this is compensation. You know, it's funny how life brings you a project. I was a father, husband, small business owner living in the suburbs of Washington, D.C. for 20 years, and my job was pretty boring. So on the weekends, I would pursue these little postcard projects, and Post Secret was one of them, just kind of a prank, handing out pre-printed postcards to strangers in Washington, D.C., saying, send me a secret. But then it became something much more meaningful than that. And in some ways, I think it's a response. Well, let me go a little bit deeper. 3 months into the project, I received a postcard from a stranger that articulated a secret I was keeping in my own life better than I could have even said it myself. And when I did, when it did remind me, I got a postcard, I wrote my secret down on it, I mailed it to myself, I talked to my wife about it, and I shared it at Post Secret Live events now on college campuses across the country. And so, looking backwards on the project, I can see how maybe I started it thinking it was for other people as kind of an amusement or something, maybe even voyeurism, what have you. But it turned out to be really therapeutic for me in a way that allowed me to share much more of who I am, not just with myself, but with my family and even with strangers.
It is sort of the meat of all great novels. There is one thing that's not said or done or secret, and finally when it's revealed, it is either a happy conclusion or, I mean, I just keep thinking of all the really great books. There's a character who somehow hasn't told that story.
Yeah, secrets play a strong role in art. And, you know, I actually think that, you know, some of the world's greatest thinkers and leaders are those who are courageous enough to share their own secrets that all of us share, but we're afraid to talk about. And you can see that sometimes in great works of literature. You can see it by the best comedians in the world. When Chris Rock goes on stage, he's basically telling his painful secrets, and we're all laughing because we can relate to them so directly, but we might not have said the same thing ourselves. Mm-hmm.
Wow. So healing through art, healing through sharing and laughing of our pain and really speaking it out loud to make it real, to make it acknowledged.
Yeah, I think when we tell our stories, it allows us to deepen those channels of intimacy we share with others, to recognize who we are, to find out what our true gifts are in the world, and to apply them in a way that can make a difference.
And you now have a sixth Post Secret book out. If you have a secret to tell, you can drop it in the mail to Frank. Thank you so much for coming into the studios today. And if you would like to find out more about the Post-Secret movement, go ahead and visit our website, ypradio.org. We'll have all the information on where to get the newest books and an address to mail secrets to. To kick off the spring semester, Montana State University Billings held a week-long series of events titled The Power of One, focused on resilience and celebrating the spirit of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Frank Warren was their featured speaker. The MSUB Students Activity Board saw Frank's performance at the National Association of Campus Activities Conference and selected him to be the keynote speaker for this annual Power of One Week. I'm joined in the studio today by Kristen Peterman, who's the Director of Campus Activities and Engagement. Welcome, Kristen.
Thanks. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, so glad to have you, especially on such a busy week. School started this week. The students are all back into the swing of things, we hope.
Yeah, I think they are. There's that vibrancy back on campus that you kind of miss when they're all off for the holidays. So.
Yeah, and what a fun way to kick things off with this Power of One. Not only was it super engaging to see Frank speak, it seems like it really kicked off this idea of resilience and sort of celebrating how students can take good care of themselves for the coming semester.
Yeah, I think so. You know, it's just a message that we really want to share with students, that we really value them and we care about them, and just that holistic approach of taking care of their education, and which includes, you know, their mental and their physical well-being.
Now, during the Post-Secret Live event, you started a collaborative art project that students were a part of based off of the idea of sharing secrets. Let's talk a little bit about what that looked like and maybe where people will be able to see that collaborative project.
Yeah, so we have a great partner in Karen Gross with Canvas Creek Team Building. And so she does these wonderful collaborative community art projects. And so when we visited with her, she thought that this would be a great opportunity. And we agreed, a great opportunity to bring our students together to work on a project. And so she joined us, and we've started this project where it's just kind of an opportunity for students to just share. It was, you know, draw a picture, write a comment, write your name, whatever you want to share. And so they're going to take that, and we're going to use that throughout the week at all of the different Power of One events, and just let students add to it as they go. And then we have some great students that are going to work as a team to take some of the secrets that we're also collecting this week to tie it all together into some artwork that we can display in the Student Union.
Do you find that students are really open to sharing and diving into this project?
You know, it's kind of a mix. You have the students that can't wait for you to hand them the marker or to get the pen to share their secrets. And you have some others that are a little more reserved. They might stand there for a minute. And if you say, hey, do you want to take a stab at it? Then they're excited and they're willing to try. And others, you might have to say, you know, just, I heard Karen say to one of them last night, just draw a circle, you know, start there. And then they spend a lot of time on the board kind of thinking about what they wanted to add to the piece. So.
A lot of the Post-Secret movement, actually probably most of it, is done anonymously, but bringing everyone together to talk about these secrets that maybe are shameful, or some of them are even funny or a little dark, yeah. You know, it seems to really open up dialogue to be able to talk about those more challenging things.
I think it certainly does. And I love the opportunity for folks to work collaboratively on this art piece, but also have that anonymous factor where they can just provide their secrets and put it in the locked mailbox that we have there. So really gives them the opportunity to do either one. But I just loved the conversations around the board and just the laughter around, you know, some of the funny secrets or the commonalities that people had. Just a really good way to bring people together, which is really the purpose of the week, is just to really focus on that community that we have.
When these secrets are being shared, sometimes they are dark in nature. And, you know, Frank and the Post-Secret movement has done a lot for suicide prevention. Mm-hmm. And I know that the student populations can sometimes be very vulnerable, and it's difficult for universities to even track suicides on a national spectrum. What are we doing here locally to help students who might be struggling? What resources are in place for them?
Yeah, so we have an amazing student health services that has amazing mental health counselors. And that's been one of our big pushes through the Power of One Week, is sharing that information with students. So on every postcard where we invite students to share their secret, it has the phone number for our student health services for our Phoenix Center Sexual Assault Advocates. It has the National Suicide Hotline on there. We also are doing a project right now currently sponsored by Housing and Residential Life at the City College campus and in the Student Union called Send Silence Packing. And there's backpacks that represent populations of students who have committed suicide throughout the year, just to bring some awareness to that. And in that display as well, it has different resources and talks about how you can reach out and what resources are available on campus to help students if they're struggling in that manner.
I bet that's quite a shocking visual to see backpacks of students who are no longer with us.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, they're just small pieces of paper, but I was just sitting in the coffee shop the other day, but if you just kind of look out and you just see they're just covering the atrium and all the way had to go down the hallway, and they just kind of blow a little bit with the air, and it really is kind of, it's a solemn sight, and one that I think sometimes you just have to see to really grasp how big of an epidemic it is.
Yeah. And to put it out there that that you're not alone, and that there's always somebody there that's listening, that's ready to hear your story.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that also is important in, you know, our student health services and some others have been working with a Cognito program that is a training for helping those for faculty and staff and students to know what to do if they maybe encounter someone that they feel might be looking at taking their own life or maybe just need some help. So we have that also listed on all of our resources for Power of One, where you can go as a student or a staff or a faculty member and go through this online training course so that you have that resource as well, so that if you are ever in that predicament, you know what might be the next step.
We talked a bit with Frank about how, you know, art and the tactile experience of creating postcards and sharing secrets can be really cathartic. Mm-hmm. How does art and mental health sort of interplay here in some of the events that you guys have been doing for students?
Yeah, you know, I think any time you can give students just a chance to interact with each other, just to interact with some other medium, it's important. We see a lot of them have taken a lot of time to spend on the art of their postcard that have been coming in the boxes, and some of them are just jotting a note. Others aren't necessarily ready to, you know, run into the art. That's not their thing, but they've taken the time to come over to the table. And Amanda, who's our student engagement coordinator, was out at City College today, and they were just making rice bags out of socks and visiting with others, or they've done some different activities where they've just colored coloring sheets, or they're making stress balls right now with like the little water bead Orbeez. And so I think some students really just want to be able to use their hands. Other students have found that, you know, working with intramural sports or being with people or physically active helps their mental well-being. And so I think just making sure that we have all of those mediums available to our students to take care of themselves is important.
Yeah, back to the idea of resilience.
Yeah.
When we say that word out loud, what do you envision? What do you want a student to know about their resiliency?
Oh, that's a good one. I think for me, it's one of those things that we know. Someone said it when we were having the Martin Luther King Jr. event, you know, that it's not necessarily a sprint or even a marathon or a relay. You know, we have to kind of be in for the long haul. And I think sometimes that's important with just our resilience, is to know that, you know, we might encounter something and it might be tricky. And sometimes we might be able to solve whatever it is that's bothering us in, you know, the day. But it might just be that we really have to be resilient about it, and we have to be thoughtful and methodical and come up with some of those resources and kind of really think outside of ourselves to determine what's going to be our best next steps. But what I really want students to get out of this week is that we have those resources and that we have this community around them. And there's a lot more that brings us together, kind of that idea of all those common secrets that we shared about, than divide us. And so that we can kind of rally around people and be that support system.
Kristen, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to come chat with us, and glad that school's back in swing. And we'll be posting information to our website, ypradio.org, that can connect students with these various resources, and also let the public know where this collaborative art piece will be on display once it's complete.
Wonderful. Thanks so much.
Yeah, thank you.
You've been listening to Resounds, Arts and Culture on the High Plains, produced by Anna Page, Corby Skinner, and Ken Siebert for Yellowstone Public Radio. Theme music by Alex Nauman. Hear this program anytime online at ypradio.org.